planted to honor the late actress Carrie Fisher. Jeremy Gerbel designed the maze back in February and planted it this spring using a GPS device. The corn is now mature, and it outlines the Star Wars character's face and, of course, distinctive hairstyle.
Hey, folks, Colonel Pete here, inviting you to come join us for dinner and a movie on Monday, September 18th, as we celebrate the Air Force's 70th birthday. Festivities kick off at the Reading Veterans Hall on Yuba Street at 5 p.m. with a delicious Sloppy Joe dinner, including a refreshment and birthday cake. The World War II classic film, 12 O'Clock High, starring Gregory Peck, will be shown starting at 5:30. Get your tickets at the door. Only $15 for adults and $8 for children. 7 and under, get in free. All proceeds support the Air Force Monument Project at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. So come join us for dinner and a movie on September 18th at the Vet Hall, starting at 5 p.m. And remember, aim high, Air Force.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
With on-site and patrol officers covering Northern California 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, North State Security works diligently to protect clients and their businesses from civil liabilities and criminal activity. With well-trained, highly visible officers and proactive mindsets toward assessing and engaging suspicious and sometimes dangerous situations, North State has been your ounce of prevention since 1968. Call North State Security at 243-0295.
Electric vehicles. We are seeing more of them every day. A new electric car in your driveway makes you eligible for a $1,000 rebate from Reading Electric Utility, REU. Plus, another $500 rebate for your level 2 charger. Did you know that REU's electricity rate for charging is equal to paying $1.08 per gallon of gasoline? Smart, eco-friendly, and super cool. Visit a local dealer today and take one for a spin. Electric vehicle rebates from REU. For information, visit us at reupower.com or call 339-7200. REU. You and you, powerful together.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square. Through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul. In your soul. In your soul. A century of dreams haunted the loggers.
Well, good morning, Jefferson. Wonderful song right there. Kind of gets you in the mood to get started on this wonderful Sunday morning.
I do have a question about that song, though. It talks about the guy sitting on the bar stool, short and square, with a mustache. I thought I was short and round.
You can be any shape you want to be, right? Most of us think of ourselves as, you know, kind of triangular, but
there
we're not.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen that way. All right, well, we're up and running. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Wynn. How are you? Good morning, Bob. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Terry, and good morning, Wynn.
Good morning, Bob.
Doing great.
Going to keep us out of trouble again today?
Going to try.
Yeah, what Wynn means is Bob has this button in case we use colorful metaphors.
And when, when Terry says we, he means himself.
Well, you were the guy on the bar stool. You just shaved off your mustache. That's all.
Oh, yeah, sure. All right. Hey, before we get started, because we've got a lot of stuff going on, and we've got some good people going to be calling in and talking to us about what's been happening and so forth, we're going to just do a couple little reminders real quick. First thing, tonight we have our conference call. It's every 2 weeks, the second and fourth Sunday of each month. And so today is the second Sunday. So our call, you can call in and you can listen to what's going on, listen to those who are going to be speaking about whatever's going on Jefferson-wise. And the number is 712-770-4114. Again, 712-770-4114. And then you'll be prompted for an access code. And the access code is 307-268. Pound or hashtag. Again, 307-268 pound or hashtag. And so we're just calling in. That's at 7 o'clock. Just give us a call, and you can hear what's going on. And the beauty of that is if you go to the website, you can call and listen to what's going on, but go to the website at the same time on your computer if you can do that. And go to the calendar on the website, and then when you go to the calendar, get to today's date and click on tonight's meeting. It's got a little notation there talking about tonight's meeting. Click on that, and that'll take you into the chat room. Then you can type in questions. You can have dialogue with the moderators. You can ask questions, and hopefully they'll be able to get to your questions, but you can have dialogue with what's going on. You can hear the meeting through your phone, and you can send information in through the chat room, and you can see what other people are writing as well. So it's a really good way to communicate all the way around. So we encourage everybody to do that as best as you can and hear what's going on, learn what's going on, hear it firsthand, and then you'll have a better understanding of what's going to be going on. And then tomorrow night, Monday night, September 11th, yes, I said it, September 11th, the Citizens for Fair Representation has cleared its first hurdle. So come celebrate with us at 6 p.m. at 3276 Bocelli Lane, and you'll hear what's going on. Our Jefferson meetings are usually at 5:30. We start out at 5:30, and we have a newbie class where people come in and learn about what's really going on with Jefferson, get the real deal from Chris. He teaches you what's going on and where we're headed, why we're doing it, how we're doing it. And then you can also transition over to the action item class, if you will, go from the newbie class to the other one where we take action and when we actually put things into place and get things done. And then shortly after those two classes are done, then we go on to the Patriot meeting, and that's what we'll be talking about tomorrow night. So come find out what's going on and where we're headed and all that good stuff. Hear it firsthand, and don't listen to rumor and gossip. Come figure it out, hear it, get your questions answered, and get involved and take action. And we know there are a bunch of you out there that want to get involved, so this is the best way to do it. Anything else?
Yeah, that'll be at 3276 Bocelli Lane at 6 p.m., right after our Jefferson meeting, and we will be answering questions on the court case. We have some film. We have interviews. There was a couple of television stations that did do interviews. And we're going to get into our first guest here very quickly, but before we do, I have to really – it was really amazing – when we were at court on Friday, to have well over 200 people there. The courtroom we were in held 58 people. She only allowed 58 people, and there was a bench behind the attorneys where the plaintiffs were able to sit, so we were able to squeeze in maybe 65, 70 people. But as you look at this whole thing that happened yesterday, and I'm going to bring on Gary Zerman, who's one of our attorneys, and he will be explaining what happened yesterday, a little bit of where we're coming from and a little bit of where we're going. But the main thing is that people showed up. In the hallway, people were virtually listening. There were so many people in that hallway that the bailiff came out and asked us to quiet down at least a half a dozen times. And I explained to him that had they given us a larger courtroom, this issue wouldn't be an issue, and you wouldn't have people all standing outside of the courtroom chit-chatting. Mm-hmm. So with that, I'm going to go right to one of our attorneys, Gary Zerman. Gary, how are you, buddy?
Fine, Terry. Thank you. Wen, thank you.
Good morning, Gary.
Talking to you guys.
Hey, same here.
Well, tell us a little bit of something about yourself, and then give us the lowdown on the court case here.
Okay. Well, I'm a California attorney for about 30 years, and been taking on the government because I see my liberty threatened all the time. It's a really tough task, as you guys know. We the people are supposed to be sovereign. The Declaration of Independence says government gets its just powers from the consent of the governed, and government is supposed to be our servant. In California, in our Constitution, Article 2, Section 1 states, all political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for their protection, security, and benefit, and they have the right to alter or reform it when the public good may require. Well, that's what we're saying in our lawsuit, because both the federal system started out with House of Representative member for every 30,000, and it was supposed to continue as the population grew. We were supposed to increase the representatives because we're a representative republic, and how we actualize our rights is loaning the power to government through these representatives, and they then are our agents. And so as the population grows, we need more representatives. That happened in the federal constitution, and it happened in California when California first started out. And so we loan the power to government, but it seems to take it and run and forget about us. And so that's what the lawsuit is about, is increasing the representation for us in California. We started out with one rep for about, in the assembly, one rep for every 2,500 people, one state senator for 5,000 people. And then it is, they stopped doing that shortly after the state started. They did it initially. They stopped with the assembly in 1854 at 80. After increasing it a few times, and then they did the same thing with the Senate after increasing it up to 40 in 1862, they stopped, and then in 1879, they actually put it in the Constitution of California, making 40 and 80 a constitutional provision. And that flies directly in the face of Article 1, Article 2, Section 1, that all political power is inherent in the people. Why would our legislature do that? Why would they cut off our representation? Because the assembly is supposed to be like the pulse or the lifeblood of our rights. They are there as our agents and represent us. Why would you ever cut that off? And so we're at the point now, 155 years later, since 1854, and we have added 39.5 million people to California, but yet the government of California, particularly the legislature, who has the duty under the Constitution, or did have it, to increase representation, they have not added one representative. So what's happened is they have gotten more power, and we have gotten less. And so the question is, are they truly acting as our agents or our representatives? And you'd have to conclude the answer is a resounding no. So we were in court on, we filed this lawsuit to increase that representation. We were in court on Friday. After we initially filed the complaint, we've sued the Secretary of State, who's represented by the California Attorney General's office, the Department of Justice, and they immediately moved to dismiss our complaint, saying that the federal court lacked jurisdiction, that we didn't have standing, that this didn't present a federal question. Our initial complaint had some minor pleading deficiencies, and we have filed a motion for leave to amend, file a first amended complaint, and that was also before the court. And so on Friday, the court heard our call and heard our case and the Attorney General's motion to dismiss. And the court has said that there needs to be some further beefing up of our amended complaint, and the court has given us another opportunity to do that. And so the court will give us an order as to when our new amended complaint will be in there. And we were going to hammer, again, these issues that I just brought up, that what the California legislature has done is acted in a totally arbitrary and capricious manner. 120 legislatures cannot represent 40 million people. And they don't have much of an answer to that other than to say, well, we don't know how many should.
Yeah,
well, we provided some proposed benchmarks, and the Constitution says one for 30,000. We'd say that's fine, but we're not going to sit on that one number. We'll provide a range. But the purpose of the Constitution is to prevent the government from acting and using its power in an arbitrary and capricious manner. And that's what's happened here, because there's no reason why they cut off and capped the legislature. And it certainly is not sufficient today. And so that's why we're going in there, and we'll file another amended complaint and really focus on the arbitrary and capricious manner the government's acting.
Now, on this court order, it was my understanding that the judge had said that she is going to specifically give you questions that she wants answered in your amended complaint, number one. I also found the attorney for the state very interesting in him saying a couple of times, I really haven't thought about that. I'm really not sure. And then the comment,
I don't know.
I don't know. And the comment of, well, even if we had 400 representatives, wouldn't we be back here in just a few years?
That was the big one right there, yeah.
So I'd like you
and all that illustrates is the arbitrary and capricious nature of their actions.
Yes.
What is the standard? There is none.
Right, right.
So, and they like, I mean, if you really step back and look at this, you wonder what has happened. The Declaration of Independence talked about the lack of representation. That was one of the main reasons why the Founding Fathers declared their independence. Is they had petitioned the king repeatedly, and they had said, you're mere colonists, and you don't deserve representation. And they were being abused, and so they declared their independence because of the lack of representation. And so they worked hard here, our government, to take away that promise from us that we the people were sovereign and that the government was our servant. And what has happened is when government gets a little power, it runs with it and it forgets that it's supposed to serve us.
Well, so then
let me quote a case here that was in California. It was an appellate case that ruled in favor of the people. This lady sued a judge who had coerced sex out of her. She had been a criminal defendant along with her husband, and then after the case, the judge approached her for sex, saying, I'm going to sentence your husband, and he can go away for a long time, or you can play ball with me. He told her to come into his chambers without her attorney after the case. The name of the case is Lowe versus Los Angeles County Superior Court, 1988, 67 Calap 4th, 1045. She also then sued the county and the state under the doctrine of respondeat superior, which is imputed negligence or employer liability. And let me just read, and they demurred to her complaint saying that we shouldn't be in here as employer, and the court overruled the demur and said the complaint was good. And I'll just read a portion of that. We decline to burden this opinion with the myriad other cases in California and other jurisdictions in the intervening 25 years chronicling sexual abuse by judges. We decline to find an abuse of judicial power for personal gratification so unusual and startling to shield defendants from respondent superior liability. And then there's a footnote, too. The cases are rife with judicial abuses of power motivated by arrogance as well as sexual abuse. Cannon versus Commission on Judicial Qualifications, 1975, 14 Cal 3rd, 678. Abuse of power can be motivated by greed, arrogance, sexuality, or any other improper motive. Our constitutional system of checks and balances was designed to protect us against the founders' expectation that unchecked power would lead to rampant abuse. They considered abuse of power so common as to design an entire system of government to expressly check it. Now, what happened to that case, though, it went up to the Supreme Court, and they depublished the case, and so it's no longer really on the books. And that shows you what happens is that although we have these three independent, co-equal branches of government that are supposed to act on as checks and balances on each other, too often what happens is they circle the wagons and they put the checks on us. The purpose of the Constitution was not to limit the people of the power of the people, was to limit and tie down government. But too often, they circle the wagons and protect each other. And so that's what we have to be aware of and have to be out in front and really advocate our case and saying, here, limiting the power, the number of legislatures is limiting the power in of the people, and in fact, it's cutting it off. Again, that's the lifeblood, the pulse of us, and it's like you're cutting off our arteries when you limit the number of representatives with an expanding population. Government gets bigger, we get smaller. And we have to fight against that, and that's what the essence of the lawsuit is.
Okay, well then you said earlier, very early on, you said that was power loaned. So the power of the people was loaned to the government to govern, and then now all we're doing is just trying to take it back. It's ours, it's not theirs.
Well, exactly, and they are our agents, and they have to act at our direction and in our benefit, and too often they do not do that.
So how are we going to assure we're going to be able to do this, you know, get that power back?
Well, we're going to beef up our allegations and, again, focus on this capricious and arbitrary action of the California government. The state legislature should have never put a constitutional limit on there. They do have the authority under the Constitution to increase the legislature, but again, if they were actually doing their job, acting in our best interest, as the country started out, as California started out, this was everybody's expectation, everybody's knowledge, that as population grew, you would add representatives. Because you have to have a certain size, and 1 to 30,000, maybe today with added technology and communication, it could go up to, say, one rep for every 50,000. But it needs to stay small so you can control your representatives. So they listen to you. They make sure that your voice is heard in Sacramento, that we have a seat at the table. In fact, if there was one word that you could say, what does representation really mean? It would be presence, that whoever represents you takes your presence and ensures that has a seat at the table, the voice is heard, and your interests are in fact tabled. They're listened to, they're heard, they're acted upon.
Right. Now, like you just gave an analogy, say hypothetically it'd be one for 50,000 as just a number just to throw out there. Well, going into 40 million, that's still 800 representatives, and we are sorely below that at being at 120. So that, you know,
well, you know, certain things in life, there are no shortcuts to integrity, raising children, and I would say representation. You have to have an organic size where you can actually be heard by your representative, and also that representative will take your interest to heart, that they also have some fear that if they aren't representing you, they can be thrown out. That's why the House of Representatives or the Assembly in California is the pulse, the lifeblood of the people. They're supposed to know what the will of the people is. And when you get beyond a certain size, it's not only impractical, it's impossible that relationship can work at a certain level. these representatives have numerous duties. They sit on several committees. They're concerned about running again for office or further office, so they're campaigning. And as Jesse Unruh said, money is the mother's milk of politics. So they're out there getting campaign donations from moneyed interest, and sometimes they care much more about the moneyed interest than they do about their constituents.
Not sometimes.
But if you have these proper organic sizes of the districts of 30 to 50,000, you can ride herd over your representative and force them to listen to you, because, one, the elections will be much more competitive. More people can get involved. You can then walk your district, and we don't need then assistance for these people. Why not do directly what you can directly? Instead of giving these people assistance, give the people more representatives.
Gary, we're going to have to go to a break, but before we do, I would like to ask you to, can you hang on with us and stay with us?
Sure, sure.
Okay, Sarah Hemphill is going to be calling in too, so it'd be great to have the two of you on the line together. I think that'd be fabulous.
Sounds good.
Right now we've got to go to a break, so hold on, my good friend, and when time has come.
For 51.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
As Californians, we are fortunate to live in such a rich agricultural state. California agriculture generates roughly $37.5 billion annually, more than any other state. Orchard Nutrition Center believes that buying local not only supports North State agriculture, but decreases the amount of time between harvest to your family's table, resulting in the freshest, most nutritious meat and produce available. Hat Creek Grown is one of the largest providers of grass-fed beef in California and is a featured vendor of Orchard Nutrition Center. Grass-fed beef has about one-half to one-third the amount of fat than grain-fed beef. It is lower in calories and can also lower LDL cholesterol levels. Hat Creek Grown is family-owned, with its roots dating back to 1903. Delicious, local, natural. Hat Creek Grown at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Redding. Now open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week to better serve your family. Orchard Nutrition Center.
I'm here with Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX-9000.
The DRX-9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX-9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica.
We hear over and over about people just having or getting ready to have back surgery. Now, why is that?
Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical decompression like the DRX-9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive, with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs.
Explore all options and potentially avoid a painful, long, expensive recovery with back surgery. See if the DRX-9000 is right for you. Call Dr. Sam Carino of Shasta Spine Specialists, 243-2300. You can also find them online at ShastaSpine.com.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Nothing all day, and I've been. Oh, yeah.
Taking care of some business.
It is. This is the perfect intro song.
Yes.
For Sarah, isn't it? Huh? Taking care of business.
Taking care of business.
All right.
Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. And you?
Good, good. Hey, Sarah is one of the teammates on our legal team. And so why don't you give a little introduction of background on yourself so our listeners can find out who you are and understand what you're doing with us.
Okay. I started out on the East Coast, born and raised there. Relatively soon decided I was going to be happier someplace else. Got as far as Denver and ended up in law school in Denver and started a family and then moved to Seattle where I was working.
Did we lose you, Rob?
Sarah?
Hello?
We got you, Gary, but we're trying to find Sarah.
Yeah.
I think we lost her.
All right.
Sorry.
There she is.
Sorry, I hit the mute button. Sorry. I'm back.
All right.
We got through to the law school.
We got through to law school in Colorado. Then what?
Okay, so law school, and then I ended up in Seattle, in a graduate program, and that's where I met Scott Staffney. And we were both very interested in representing a class of people. In this case, it was fishermen. Little guys in Alaska in particular, who kind of were railroaded by decisions being made by government entities and or committees and commissions, and they needed a voice. So we worked together on that project quite successfully, I would say. And, the net result in that case was pushing the foreign fleets out of U.S. waters so that those fish were available to the Americans, and the little guys in particular. And then I moved out of, if you will, the legal business, the formal legal business. I moved away from Alaska back down to Seattle and ended up working with farmers in much the same mode where I was a go-between between a constituency, a citizen constituency, and the elected officials. And farmers were not happy. They were being blamed. This was, I think, saving salmon, and you had environmentalists who had a great deal of power, and farmers weren't being listened to, and regulations were being passed which hurt them. So I worked with that group until about 2 years ago, and again, we had a great deal of success. So my particular, I think what I bring to a situation like yours, or would bring, or could bring, is that I'll use the go-between, the person that moves back and forth between the electeds, making them a little bit smarter than they might be, or a little bit more aware of some issues, and representing the voice of the public. But I have. And then personally, my personal concerns are, as you might not be surprised, are women and recognizing that we have not stood up and spoken for ourselves, we as individuals in the very big group. And unless we find a way to do that, we're not going to have parity. We're not going to have balance. So I am new to this topic. I just moved 6 weeks ago to California from Seattle. And as I was looking at, okay, what am I going to do next, started to poke around with respect to lobbying, because I've been a lobbyist for the last 10 years in Washington, and realized that I had a very daunting prospect ahead of me. I went back and got some numbers the other day. There are about 6 million people, or we're talking about 2010 numbers, 6 million people in the state of Washington. They have 98 elected folks in their represent their as their representatives. State, we're talking about state here. California has 80. Alaska, with 600 population, has 40. Wyoming, with 500 population, has 60 representatives. Vermont, with 600, has 150 representatives. How do I find a way to get the attention of my representatives here in San Francisco to talk to them about issues that are important to me?
Yes, and I
think... How do I engage? How do I become a participant?
I think you nailed it right there. See, that's the thing, and it doesn't really matter. We were talking about this at lunch the other day. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you're right wing or left wing. Nobody wants to be part of the chicken. And we want to be in a situation where we've got our, whatever it is that we believe, whatever it is, whatever we want, whatever it is that, that we know we need as a people, for our families, for our country, for our living. Whatever we need to have a way of representation to get to that. And Scott, do you have a, Gary, do you have a comment on that, buddy?
Well, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be, is equality for everybody, and through your representation, that's how you get it. But there's simply not enough representatives here. I mean, you get beyond a certain point, and bigger is not only better, bigger simply doesn't work. It's impossible. And so we've got to expand the legislature to the point where it's an organic relationship, where your representative is at the proper size that can truly represent you, and that means everybody of all walks
of
life.
Have to have
this is a movement in California started primarily out of Jefferson, because it's really bad up there, but I live down outside of Los Angeles, and I can tell you, we have more representatives down here, but we don't, as people, don't get more representation because we have a hell of a lot more people. And the size of these districts with the limited number of representatives, both the Assembly and the Senate, simply cannot do the job. We have, I believe, 58 counties, yet we only have 40 senators.
Well, and using the statistic that was given to us just a minute ago by Sarah, with the 98 representatives for 6 million people, that would mean California should have at least 614 representatives. So,
well, they should.
Yeah.
And one important thing is the Federalist Papers, and there's a case called, let's see what it is, Cotting versus Kansas City Stockyards Company. It's a U.S. Supreme Court case, 1901, and it says that clearly we can use the organic documents, the Declaration of Independence. Again, one of the major complaints of the Founding Fathers was the lack of representation that the King of England was giving the colonists, and the Federalist Paper. And Federalist 49 says that the executive and the judiciary will be few and distant from the people, whereas the legislature will be manied and varied and among the people. Again, that's to show you that the lower house is the pulse, the lifeblood of the people. That's how our rights are actualized, through our representative. However, what has happened in both the federal system and in California is that we have tremendous growth in the executive department and the judicial appointment. Back in the mid-1800s, the 1860s, when they limited the legislature to 80 and 40, we had about 60 judges in the state. And so they capped the legislature at the 40 and 80, so 120. We now have almost 2,000 judges in California. So that really has damaged the structure of the checks and balances, and in fact it's inverted it, or the executive branch and the judiciary have leapfrogged over the legislature, which was placed first in the Constitution because it was closest to the people, and the people directly elected their representatives, the lower house.
You bet. We're getting a little beeping in the background. I don't know what that's from. We're getting some beeping and some noise, like there's either a...
I'm guessing that might be Sarah's phone.
Oh.
That was Bob.
Are you hearing? I'm not hearing it now. Oh, are you?
Well, we're getting beeping and we're getting.
I think like somebody was grabbing the keys on their phone, perhaps, or touching the keys on their phone. Just be careful how you hold your phones.
That's Bob. That's Bob who's nagging you, Sarah.
He keeps us out of trouble.
He keeps
most
us all
of the time.
Out of trouble here. Anyway, so if it's Sarah, maybe it's just a general nag for all of us. But anyway, the real
blame it on the girl.
Yeah. Well, I figured I would. You know, I've got three daughters. So. But anyway, so you know, the thing is that you know, as we look at this, everybody wants representation. But I did want to just bring up a couple of things that are relevant to what's a bit unique about California. One of those things is that Senate Pro Tem Mr. DeLeon certainly had his day on television when he made the statement that, you know, of course, half of my family has driver's licenses that are not valid or legal, and a lot of them have Social Security numbers that aren't theirs, but how else can they stay out of an oppressed country and stay in this country for liberty and freedom? That was number one. So that you deal with that issue. You also deal with the issue of, you know, with the fire tax, many, many other things. But I think the main thing, and I don't know whether this is a proper thing to address or not, but I think it's important to state, is that we've actually had our elected officials say, well, through their staff, well, you know, the senator can't talk to you, the assemblyman can't talk to you, they just don't have time to talk to you. I'm sorry that we just don't have time. There's just too many of you. We've actually had them say that to us. So there's many, many things here that I think make California extremely unique to other states. And how would we bring people to the table through the rule of law, Sarah, when they don't abide by the rule of law?
Right. Somebody mentioned that to me the other day. And
it was over Mexican.
And
Mexican food.
Yes. You know, that, good Mexican food.
What do we do about that? I mean, I've had a great deal of luck. I say I have. We the group that I worked with had a great deal of success in getting the attention of elected officials when we spoke with one very loud voice. Or two or three voices that were in harmony and made a big stink. And the, you know, at one point an elected official stood up and pointed her finger at me across the hearing room and screamed, "You better not come back to us until you get all 39 cities in this county agreeing on whatever it is you want to present." And everybody, there was a huge intake of breath, and all I could think of was how sweet it is. Only 39 cities, we can do that. And we did, and it took 2 years, but we did. We had a unanimous vote supporting the farmers and making sure that they got what they needed, and the electeds had no choice.
Well, I think that's a very, very good point. I know that
But we have to talk to each other. You
yes.
guys are doing a great job.
Yes.
Let me just say that I've just started to really get familiar with some of these things here in California. I think this, and I don't know much about it except the very surface, but the Citizens Redistricting Commission, which is third party, it's not the legislators, mm-hmm. it's not those elected officials who mm-hmm. have a job that I wouldn't want in them for any reason, so I respect them and honor them for stepping up, but I think this third party commission, I mean, if I had a dog in the fight, this commission would be where I would start.
Well, the big thing
for that commission, they held part of their hearing down in Mexico for redistricting in California. So right there,
yeah.
Yes, no lie. That is absolutely the truth.
Yep.
And how in the world can you do that? You go to another country to have a hearing heard because one of your representatives is down there and they're doing open line, whatever you want to call it, Skype, what have you, but it's with people there doing it. So are those people citizens of California? Are those people not citizens of California? Regardless, it doesn't matter. They're doing it in a foreign country. What in the world were they thinking?
Well, see, again, that's the rule of law. We're going to have to go off to a quick break, but off of what Wynn just said, I think that was a great, great point, Wynn. maybe we can come back to that a little bit. And I did want to address the position of, how do we deal with the lawlessness on that particular front?
Right.
Okay. So
that's a good question for Gary.
There you go.
I'm ready.
All right.
He is ready. He was born ready.
Okay, we're going to go off to our break, and we'll be back in just a moment, and we can discuss those issues, all right?
Time has come.
For 51.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Evil. There are people in this country who are evil to the core. They are violent and hateful and will not reason or debate. This evil drives them to violence with whomever they disagree. They will invade peaceful gatherings with the sole purpose of perpetrating violence and injury, then blame their actions on the peaceful. We can no longer trust politicians or the media to acknowledge the truth. So we must know how to discern good from evil. This wisdom is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. They say we don't realize the mess we're getting in. Before you start your preaching, let me ask you this, my friend. Have you forgotten how it felt that day to see your homeland under fire and her people blown away? Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors still inside going through a living hell. And you say we shouldn't worry about Bin Laden.
That's a darn good question.
Yeah.
And guess what? Tomorrow is the anniversary, don't forget.
Yes, and the music by Rally Sally.
Yeah, she's always picking and choosing, finding the
good 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm listening to this stuff full blast.
All right. So, Gary, we're back at it. So, what you got there?
Well, Terry hit on a big point, the rule of law. That was one of the founding principles of America, that we were a nation of laws and not men. But over the last several decades, we've seen that wealthy people get a better deal, there's special interest. And Justice Brandeis said, if we desire that the law be respected, we must first make the law respectful. And politicians who make many of the laws and lawyers who deal with them, their reputations are in the dirt for the most part, and that's for a good reason. There's a lot of corruption going on. And one of the biggest problems we face in this country is we've come to the point where we simply tolerate lying way too much. And the corollary to that is if you tolerate lying, the truth doesn't matter much. And if the truth doesn't matter much, we're lost. So we've got to get to the point where we stop tolerating this lying and put real teeth into the real rule of law.
Okay, so...
And that's what we're trying to do with this lawsuit, to get back to the Constitution. We're supposed to... Representation was a founding principle, and they've taken it away from us.
So how do we get the liars to stop lying to us?
Well, we, the people, have to stand up and make sure that our we have more representatives in smaller districts. We've disassembled a lot of nuts and bolts of our communities, and things are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more collective, more collective. I'd recommend people turn and look at the book called The Road to Serfdom by Friedrich Hayek. I mean, he explains exactly what's going on. Instead of us having a limited government, the federal government's a cancerous behemoth that just keeps metastasizing. I was talking to someone the other day. I'm going to send them these statistics I found in this one paper, that the federal government is $222 trillion in debt. I think California's debt is about $500 billion. These people are spending money and not making anything better through their choices, because they're not following the will of the people. And, in fact, they're spending money we don't even have.
Well, that's a good point, and they've been doing that for quite some time. But I wanted to ask you, too, there is a program that comes on right after us called Sovereign Minds. It starts at 10 o'clock, and they're great guys. I mean, we all work together, basically. And they were wondering if, Gary, if you could hold on and talk maybe for the first few minutes of their program. Would you mind doing that?
Sure, sure.
Okay, how about you, Sarah?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, sounds
good. No. If we don't all stand up, Gary's fabulous, Scott's fabulous.
Yes.
But we all have to pitch in.
Yes.
And I have, you know, I certainly haven't done it, even on issues that I think are really important for me personally. Okay? I can't, complacent is the word that makes me just shiver. Complacency, just, we can't do that. And that's one of the reasons that the work that you folks are doing is so exciting, because you're right where we have to be.
Well, I think the amazing thing about this, and it really is, I mean, we have 21, actually we have three more counties that have been tremendously active. We've got 23 counties, almost 24, where people are all working together. I mean, enormous amounts of people. You saw the turnout yesterday. I mean, these are people coming from everywhere on a work day, you know, literally well over 200 showing
Friday.
Up. Pardon me?
Well, the turnout was on Friday.
Did I say yesterday?
Yes, you did.
I did.
Okay.
That's because I'm getting senile.
I'm just trying to, you know, just getting.
Keep me straight, buddy. Make sure I have those articles and sections straight, buddy.
There you go.
Anyway, so, you know, that's the thing that we really have to look at here, is people are all working together. There isn't anybody here who's running roughshod on anybody. All of this has come from grassroots. It's been grassroots. It's staying grassroots.
Right.
And, you know, the thing is that people who lead... The reason they lead is they're their best servants, number one. The other thing is that we have to look at this as, okay, this everybody has a talent. Look for the good in that talent. See what they do best. Like Bob, he has a great talent. He stays over that button, so in case we... But he has to do more of that on Sovereign Minds.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Those guys are really fun.
Yes.
You two I don't worry about so much.
Yeah, but when you get red and Mark in here, you know.
Get wound up. Okay, and the other thing, too, is that, you know, when you're talking about people participating, there are different levels of participation, what you can do, how you can do it, when you can do it. You know, and the big thing is, do what you can when you can. And the thing is, we're coming up to timeline where we need a lot more stuff done, so try to schedule more participation when you can do it. So the big thing is, for me, is for the court costs. We have hard costs for the court. And so I know I've talked about this before, but I'm going to do it one more time. If you haven't donated, please do so. And do what, again, donate what you can when you can. You can donate through the PayPal account that we have. You can go through... you can do the GoFundMe account that we have. You can go and just write a check or send money to P.O. Box 751, Palo Cedro 96073. You can go to the website, soj51.net. All those ways of donating are listed on there. And you can get more information on that website. So that's what we're at. That's where we're at.
Well, he's playing the music, so Sarah... Gary, hold on. You're going to be on another program.
Okay.
Good morning.
You.
See, go get another cup of coffee while you can.
There you go.
All right.
Time has come.
Hey, everybody.
For 51.
Oh, say, can you see?
KCNR Shasta Redding.
5 million people across the state and collapsing a construction crane over the Miami skyline. Jim Glagowski, Vice President and General Manager of Salem Media, is in Miami.
Watching local news reports, video from TV, so much damage with tree damage, especially right now, because the winds are coming in big gusts. They're not sustained.